Well, I said, geez, I don't know. But we're both wearing bibs and my gums are bleeding, so it must have been one hell of a lobster dinner.
The Preston on DC 101.
Yeah, no, I'm going to link a looker. I ain't going anywhere. Oh, you can't get me out of here. Up, trowel. The proctologist has got him bent over the table. And he leaves him. He says, I'll be right back. And he tells the nurse to bring him an instrument. He walks back in to the man's naked behind, waiting for the nurse to bring him the instrument. She walks in instead with a can of beer. He looks at her. He said, no, nurse, I said I wanted a butt light. I ain't out loud. You digging? It's 17 minutes before.
Charles, what is it?
I suggest you get the new year off to a ripping start. We set down our New Year's resolutions together. In so doing, we may find a closeness and a sharing that we seem to have lost in our relationship.
Good idea, Charles. Writing down what you plan to do oft times is the perfect outline for success. All right, here's a yellow pad. For me, start writing.
All right, here, let me see. What is it I plan to do here? Well, number one, perhaps I shall spend a little less time with the polo ponies and a lot more time with my beloved wife.
That's very good, Charles. A very good start. Now, why don't you add as resolution number two? You'll leave the room when you must break wind.
Well, I normally do that, I, but we are, after all, husband and wife, and I didn't think you minded.
Charles, I would prefer you were in another part of the palace. Or at least stop asking me to pull your finger. It's not funny, Charles. It's adolescent. So please put that down.
All right. Write that down. Privacy. During the occasional moment of flattery. All right.
Oh, and Charles, when you're in mid-massive, write down that you will no longer stick your tongue out of the corner of your mouth as you concentrate. You look ridiculous. Oftentimes when I'm brushing my teeth and you come in there and you sit there with your tongue out of the corner of your mouth and your brow furrowed, you look like a child, Charles. Put that down.
All right, ladies, I had never really realized I was getting on your nerves. All right, I'll put it down to appear more bland during expulsion.
Oh, and Charles, stop enjoying Rose every Wednesday afternoon.
Lady Di, how did you know that I was...
Oh, Charles, you're so predictable. Wednesdays is when you get your copy of Boys Life. Comes every week. I know full well the door isn't locked because you're practicing your half-hitch knots.
Lady Di, please, don't even insinuate. I'm not bloody insinuating, Charles. I know full well. Now write that down. Oh, my list is getting longer here. I never realized I did so many things that offended you. All right, I'll write that down.
Put down, Charles, that you'll stop cracking your bloody knuckles every minute of the day. That you'll get an operation to have your ears spin back to the head. That you'll stop looking so bloody goofy. You always look so bloody goofy all the time, Charles. That's why I've lost one. At first, I was fascinated by you. You're a prince. You'll one day be the king of England. But I realize you're just goofy.
Lady Di, please, this bitterness has got to stop. I'm putting all these things down. I am bloody well trying in this relationship, and you can just insulting me.
Well, let me see, little Miss Holier Than Thou.
Wait a minute. You've only written down one resolution.
That's all I have, Charles. For 1988, I only have one. Well, what is it? I resolve in 1988, I will find out Isaac Hayes's personal home telephone number.
Oh, no!
WWDC FM Washington's noblest trick of all to Estelle. And I wonder, as glad as I am to be rid of her, I wonder if I will one day pay the ultimate price for some of the things I did to her with malice aforethought. I'll never forget, long after the smoke had settled from our divorce, Estelle called me up. She said, "Nino, I got an unusual request." I said, "What is it, Estelle?" She said, "I've decided to become a single parent. I decided I'd like to have a child, and rather than adopt and go through all of that, I'd rather have a child by someone whose genetic background I'm familiar with. And to be honest, remember how everybody said we made a good couple when we were first going out? Let's face it, you're bold, you're bulky. Powerful, strong features. I'd like to have your baby." I said, "There's no way I'm hobbling." She said, "No, there's no hobbling involved. All I need is a sample. And I'll do it in the doctor's office then. Fertilize me in vitro." She said, "Would you mind? I mean, I won't demand anything from you. You'll have no responsibilities. All I would like is a donation from you. I can go to a bank, but then I get a random thing. I'd rather just low words." I said, "All right, Estelle, no problem." I hung up the phone, I lit a Camel, and I got to thinking, that wench. How dare she? After the brutal divorce proceedings, the vicious courtroom battles, now she wants a sample so she can have my child. I'll give her a sample, all right. I went next door. The next door neighbor was home, thank God. I said, "Buddy, you never guess what I want to do. My ex-wife wants a sample. What I'd like to do is have you give me your sample in a test tube. What do you think?"
Unbelievable. That is unbelievable, man.
No, what I'm saying is, you go ahead and do that. And then she gets, artificially implanted and put in a test tube. Plus, I'll get about 15 guys from the neighborhood.
Huh? Not bad, yeah. That's still not bad, Deborah.
All right, well, here you go. If you wouldn't mind wailing away, while you're doing that, you hang on to that. Let me go next door. Hey, buddy! Buddy, up here! It's Grace!
Habadu gaga, habadu gaga, habadu gaga, habadu gaga!
I wonder if I can... you see this test tube here? Would you fill this up for me?
Okay, here I go. Whoa!
All right, just wail away and quietly, will you? Quietly. And
you think that maybe you and I can take a simultaneous constitutional?
After you fill a tube for me, all right? Then we'll take one, all right? And so I went around the neighborhood. I even stopped at St. Elizabeth's. I said, "I need to see your most lunatic patient, please." They said, "Well, that would be Crazy Harvey." He stepped this way, and there was Crazy Harvey sitting there.
"Everybody thinks I'm crazy. Yes, sir, me. Knock on wood. So I'm crazy. So what can I do? So are you."
Yeah, sure enough, I said, "Hold on a second." And I got a little sample of his. I asked one of the orderlies, "Hey, buddy! Buddy! Come here, sir." It was a white-suited orderly.
You
want
to be a chase? Just keep up with me.
I'll keep up with you, but gee, what if you could please... Well, away, there you go. That's sweet. Well, I must have stopped at 15 different locales, 15 different places. I stopped people on the street. I finally showed up at Estelle's house. I said, "Here you go. Here you go, Estelle." She looked at that thing. She said, "My God, I knew you were a man, but look at the copious nature." I said, "Yeah. There you go." And so the deed was done. And I can never be sure to this day. You know, there was such a tremendous mixture. Who, was actually the father. But to this day, Estelle won't speak to me, you know, because her kid, this was about 8 years ago, and to this day, her kid just runs around going, That's him trying to say the alphabet, isn't it? Listen. She said, A, A, B, C. A little good, clean fun. Come on.
You laugh so much, your sides will ache, your heart will go pit-a-pat.
Sing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Stand by. There's more in store from the one and only Grease Man on WWDC FM Washington, DC 101.
We're loving life.
that I leave as the Emperor Pukaspecius.
And together with my bride, Schles Baggius, we had an idyllic lifestyle. Except for our son, man. Our son was a disappointment to me because he was growing up spindly and wimpy. My son Vorskinius, I had envisioned as leading my centurions into battle. My head centurion, Spartacus, told me he was a hopeless case. All my other assistants had proud sons. Prostatius was made very proud by his son Scrotocles. But I always felt like I'd been shortchanged. Even Snodicus had a bold son, Testicules. Sons that made their fathers proud! And who did I have? Vorskinius. I vowed that he would learn the art of battle with a broadsword. I told him that if he learned, I would give him his choice of wenches. His ears perked up. I said, Vorskinius, if you make me proud, I will take you into my harem. Choose Fallopia if you want. Slatica if you'd like something a tad zesty. You may have Horsebaggius, Pontangius, Menopausius, Hymenius, Frigidicles, Syphliticus, Gonorius, Promiscutia. They can all be yours. If you learn battle with a broadsword.
He said, could I have Endometria?
I said, yes. Yes, you could have Endometria if that's all you want. I'll even throw in genitalia if you'd like. But you must learn the battle. Spartacus, come in here. And so Spartacus, who was a very imposing fellow, walked into the room with his assistants, Hemorrhoidocles and Suppositorius. I said, do what you can. He said, as you wish, your incontinence. But he doesn't look like a likely candidate to wield the broadsword. I said, do not contradict me. He said, I'm sorry, O flatulence. I said, teach him. And sure enough, Spartacus said, all right, let's give him an easier opponent to start with. Pubocles, pick up a sword. And so I watched as Pubocles and my son Vorskinius faced each other. He said, Circumcisius, you run the clock. We'll give them 60 seconds. Ejaculus will be the judge. Orgasmocles, you watch as an impartial observer. And so they circled each other. Both weighing each other. We had some spectators. Crotch Rodius was saying, come on, Vorskinius, make your father proud. Gag me with a spoonius, had his finger in his nose buried to the second knuckle. I said, come on, give it to him. And so they circled each other. I watched with some trepidation as my poor, spindly little son tried desperately to wield the broadsword. But no, he was humiliating me. Humiliating me. I said, even the old geezer Prostatius can do better than you. But I guess I shouldn't have shouted anything. Because Vorskinius turned his head to look at me. And when he did, his opponent seized the opportunity to run him through the skull with the sword and enter the side of his head. And saw daylight at the other end. My son dropped to his knees, a questioning look on his face. Then his eyes rolled up in his head, and he crashed to the floor. Disgustedly, I got up.
That was my son.
That's humiliating. Well, I just hope my other son, Theseus, comes out a little bit better. I left my chambers. I walked outside just as my wife, Schles Baggius, was returning from a trip to town.
She said, how's our son doing anyway with his broadsword lessons? I said, nah.
You know, Vorskinius, in one ear and out the other.
You're rocking with Washington's best jock, the Grease Man.
Ooh, daddy. Nice.
On WWDC FM Washington, DC 101.
Here we go. A la
tierra. La muerte. Land of the Dead. It was there that I was checking out of a hotel. And I really got hot under the collar. Checking out of the hotel, and the guy says, okay, Señor Gringo, I hope you enjoyed your stay. I said, yeah, it was a nice time. He said, that'll be $975. I said, wait a minute, $975? I was on the club plan, $32.50 a day, meals, gratuities included. He said, oh, see, Señor Gringo, you got that right. But didn't you read the small print? There's also a gringo charge of $252 just for being a gringo. You pay the extra. I said, gringo charge? $252? He said, not only that, but there are certain extras that you ordered that were not on the club plan. Like you went to two extra rolls of toilet paper. That's $52.50. It's a special toilet paper, Señor Gringo. You used a lot of rolls. Plus, you went through numerous sets of sheets with all your speckling. And apparently there was some fudge packing going on, so the cleaning bill is $92.75. I said, wait a minute. He said, see, that's all itemized here. You lost $970. I said, oh, yeah, you know, I'm getting hot now. I'm trying to pull a fast one on old Nino A. Grease Minnelli. So I got to thinking fast. I said, I tell you what, rather than deal with this plastic money, these credit cards, why don't I go out in my rental car? I got cash money that I brought down here for deposit. How'd you like cash? He says, Señor Gringo, cash money in your car. I said, yeah, it's right out here. I'll be right back. I jumped in that car and... Well, I was laughing so hard that I put one over on old Pacho that I lost control of the car. And just as the car came to rest, here comes the hotel manager running up, shaking his fists with three federales with guns drawn. I said, wait a minute. Another case of spontaneous acceleration.
It's the Grease Man Show.
The indisputable leader of the game. He's the boss, he's a veteran, he's a championship.
Yeah, the Grease Man with rock and roll, the best of the new and old on WWDC FM Washington, DC 101.
Time to wonder what it must be like to strap out a gun and put on a bag and become a lover. So sweet. Well, you're working in the jail. Yeah, you got to do a certain amount of time as a jailer before you can actually hit the street, and there you are. Visiting day at the jail, and you check it in them women that come to visit their husbands that are locked up. One of them's waiting in line, and she looks nice. So, as is the case, she signs in for who she wants to see. And you go through the contents of her purse. Just standard operating procedure when suddenly you see a nail file in there. You say, wait a minute, lady. You grab her by the wrist and spin her around. What do you think we are here, stupid? She said, but it's just an emery, boy. It's a nail file, lady. A nail file, an instrument of escape. Try to smuggle that in here. Do you know what the charge is for smuggling contraband into an incarceration facility is? At least 5 years in the slammer. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to arrest you. You have the right. She said, wait a minute. You can't arrest me. It was just a nail file. Oh, my God. You can't put me in jail. My kids are waiting for me at home. I got a pot of coffee on the side. You say, well, lady, I might be able to... overlook this one time if you'll talk to the judge. She says, talk to the judge? I don't understand it. You step into the side room and say, let me introduce you to His Honor. Start pleading your case. She says, well, I don't really know if I could. I mean, my God. You say, all right, you're the right. You're right. She says, well, all right. Down there with your hands on your hips and, ooh, that is sweet. That's it, baby. Oh, if it pleases the court, and it does please the court. Oh, you... She says, oh, it's horrible. Now, can I see my husband, please? You say, you just missed him. Guy made bail an hour ago. Hey. No offense, lady. Yeah, no offense.
This is an NFL...
I mean, there's no way in a million years I would ever. Get on.
apartment. I'd wake up in the morning serenading my lover with this tune.
It had to be yours. It had to be yours. No other guy can make me so high. It had to be yours. Oh, how I feel when you make me squeal. Oh, and we make love and these stars above us. It's just unreal. It just had to be yours. We kissed. You were already greasing your fist. It had to be you. Had to be you. It had to be you. Water,
Hey, punk. What are you doing with your ankles behind your ears? Holding that mirror.
Trying to see the Bombays, Clinton. Do you notice anything different about them? Take a good look. You like playing with them enough, that's for sure. Take a good look. Tell me what you notice different.
Looks the same to me, punk.
No, the Bombays are all new. You notice there's no Tocostyl foliage. I've had it all removed. Electrolysis. The Gregory method. See? Now no need to worry about Klingons. No need to worry about unsavory cleanup. Look at me, Clinton. Look at me. I'm bald as a baby. Just trying to see myself with a mirror here. I can't get used to it. It's still so nice. It took forever. It was a little painful. I had to, you know, zap out one of those one at a time. And Lord knows I was rather bountifully foliated. I think you're going to like it better too, Clinton. Nothing to tickle? You want to touch? Huh? Don't you think it'd be nice? Clinton, you're not even looking. I had this done for you.
Don't bother me, punk.
I'm sure... Clinton... See the Instamatic over there in the dresser? I'd like you to take a picture. Picture me just like this. I want to send it to my ex-lover. I want to let him know what you get to have now that he never had. He was always complaining that I was too foliated. And now look at me, clean as a whistle. And he can't have me. Only you can. That's right. Yeah, go ahead. That's it. Yeah, line it up. Let me get a nice expression on my face. Let me say cheese. After you take the picture.
The Grease Man on DC 101.
There's something out to kill. I'm talking the winter's cold. Oh, I do have a slight shrapnel wound in my... And I do have a bald spot on my doodads. From some Willy Pete that got a little close. Most of the scars are inside. Well, you can't see them. But they're there just the same. Scars from the days when the name on my uniform said Grease Manelli, but everybody knew me as Sergeant Fury! Quang Tree, 1967. We were old grizzled vets in no time at all. You grow up fast when you're under fire.
When the bullets are flying there.
Your eyes develop a hard-bitten look. I remember one day we were sitting around camp, eating some peaches and heavy sauce. Comparing close calls we've had. One of the guys said, I remember I was riding along in a Jeep and I had it shot out from under me. I had to continue on foot. One guy said, I was on a tank one time, had it shot out from under me. Had to continue on a bicycle. I said, that's nothing. I one time had a whack shot out from under me, had to continue by hand. Incoming! It was a surprise attack, it so often happened. Mortars from out of nowhere. Men were diving for holes, returning fire into the elephant grass. Panic-stricken for any... Look out, look out, look out, look out! Hot one on the way, grab some real estate! But we were pinned down. I mean, pinned down as you
can be pinned down. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, our redemption came in the form of a goddess slinging lead from the bush. She somehow got a position over our heads. She could see the flicker fire, the enemy machine gun. She could hear the whoop of the enemy mortar tubes. And she directed her fire in such a way as to be deadly telling. We eventually found two guys slumped over a mortar tube. We found another two that were manning the machine gun, riddled. I turned around and I looked at her. I said, "Well, little darling, you sure did some good work. You saved our lives." Fury, United States Marine Corps. She said, "Kim Jong, South Vietnamese Army." I said, "Well, Miss Jong, how about a little zing, She said, "I tell you something, G.I. No hanky-panky. I'm soldier. I fight. Kill many VC. Then I kill you. You don't treat me with respect." I said, "Now, wait a minute. Don't wait. Oh, Nelly. Don't get your bowels in an uproar. I just said, it's been a long time for that female company. We don't have any females in combat roles, and I was just thinking." She said, "Well, you stop thinking. I'm soldier, just like you." I said, all right. Yeah. But I couldn't help but thinking that she looked dice. She stayed with our unit for several weeks. And every time I put the moves on her, she'd bat my hand away. One time she even pulled out a bayonet, flipped me, and held it to my throat. So I knew she was definitely not receptive to my overtures. She was a soldier and one of the best. One day we were on patrol and we had all fanned out to make less noise, to try to encounter the enemy. I was thinking about her. I guess I wasn't paying attention. Oh, sure, I was looking for bouncing Bettys. I was looking for punji sticks waiting for me. But I wasn't looking for quicksand. And that's what I found. And the damn thing was I couldn't shout for help because I'd get help all right. A crowd of VC around me laughing. The quicksand was up to my waist when Kim Fong came out of the grass and saw me there. She said, "I don't have rope." I said, "Well, I guess I no have chance to live." She just looked at me. I said, "You know what you could do? You could hang. See that branch overhead?" She said, "But I don't have rope." I said, "I know you don't have rope. Listen to me. You hang from the branch." She said, "But no, you grab my legs, you pull me in, you're too heavy." I said, "Will you listen to me? I know I'm going in. But the quicksand is going to buy me the farm. All I'm asking you is to hang from the limb. Let me have a little bit of gobbledygee." She said, you always die. I said, "It's a dying man's last request. You want to stand there and watch me die? Fine. I'm just asking you." Crying out loud, "I'm history. Do you see that? I'm history. Look at me." Quicksand was chest high. I said, "I'm just asking you. Hang from the limb. And spread me a feast and spare me the yeast." You know, there was some compassion in that hard-bitten little girl who'd only known war. Who'd never held a pocketbook on her shoulder, but an M16 all her life. She climbed that tree and dropped trowel and hung from the limb. And I dined. I must have noshed away for about half an hour. She said, "How come you no sink and die?" I said, "Because I'm standing on a ledge, baby."
Don't go away. It's the Grease Man with Mega Shriekin'.
You just sit down, light up a camel, and pick the one you want. Lord knows you'll have enough variety. You want one with an ample tuchus? Well, you just wait there until a beefy mama goes jogging by and you see that turd cutter in the distance and you say, "Ooh, that is for me." Or maybe you like them slim with the meat close to the bone. Well, there'll be one along. I mean, it's like a fashion show of wobble sitting there on a bench at the mall. There's so many people jogging. There's so many people there. It's like unbelievable. Unbelievable. You just find the one that looks good. And you walk over to her and you say, My God, you gotta help me. I just was stung by a bee. I am highly allergic.
So, well, I'll call an ambulance. It is not time. We've got to get to the hospital now. Where's your car? She'll say it's right over here. Of course, she'll help you out. I mean, you're pretty defenseless. You know, you just breathe every now and then like you're going into anaphylactic shock, you know? She'll lead you to her car and start driving to the hospital. That's what you say. You know, it's really so pathetic. The doctors told me if I get stung again, I would probably die. And here I am stung again. She'll say, hang on, we're almost to the hospital. I say, it's no use. There's nothing really they can do. I already feel my throat tightening anyway. And you know what the damn thing is? I'll tell you, because I'm going to be dead in probably 5 minutes anyway. Who cares? Who cares if I spill my guts to some stranger? You were nice enough to have compassion with me trying to get me to the hospital anyway. And to think that I'm going to die without ever having known the bliss of hobble. She'll look at you and say, you never know the bliss of hell. You say, no, I never have. Well, I might as well enjoy Rosie because I'm going to be dead in a few minutes.
That's when she'll have compassion on you. She'll see you wailing away. She'll know that you're clean because you've never hobbled before, right? She'll know she can't get anything from you. That's when her truly Samaritan instincts will take over. At that point, she'll pull over to the side of the road.
Take care of that bad boy!
She'll say, I'm gonna get you to the hospital quicker. And so she'll drive you to the hospital. You still every now and then go to let her know that you're still suffering the effects of the bee sting. And that's where you get on your own again. That's where you dump her. Because, you know, she'll drive right up to the emergency room door, and you say, let me go in there. You park the car. I'll meet you inside. And so you go reeling through the emergency room doors, and once she gets out of sight, you just step up to the mirror and neatly adjust your tie and make a gentle escape through the maternity ward.
The Grease Man on DC 101.
So did you have a big time at the New Year's Eve?
Female motorists that are in need of aid.
That's where I learned this song.
Well, I went to see my gal, she wouldn't let me in. She had to come, yeah, and had to come again, oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgie boy, somebody been using that thing. Well, I knew a girl asked me to change her spare. I said, first let me explore your daddy. Oh yeah. Georgie boy, somebody been using that thing.
I got a gal, she little and low. She used to let me take it, but she don't know more. Oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing. Well, I saw a girl, her hood was raised. I said, I'll help you, baby, if you make my face glazed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing.
Old Uncle Bun, about 96. He just got back from getting it fixed. Oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing. Well, I knew a girl with a busted hose. I said, hey, polish dish until it glows. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing.
Old Aunt Jane, she bought a new hat. Believe it or not, boy, it's tight like that, oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing. I knew a girl who was out of fuel. I said, gobble dish, and please don't drool, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I got my good suit on, eh? Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing.
Red rooster and a little brown hen, they run around together, but they ain't no kin, oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing. Well, I knew a girl with a blocked fuel line, and no time at all, I had her supine, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing.
Old maids in the folding bed. One turned over and the other one said, oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boy, somebody been using that thing. Well, I knew a girl frantically.
Well, I want to get it in before they start. I knew a girl frantically waving her hanky. I said, all right, I'll have you, but first give this a Yankee. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Georgia
telling you, boys, about I've been using that thing.
All right, take us home, Baggy.
Well, I loved her in the summer and I loved her in the fall, but the cold winter days, I couldn't love her at all.
Somebody been using that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody been using that thing. Georgia boys, somebody been using that thing.
Yeah, buddy. Now you got me fired up. The Grease Man with the best of show on DC 101, and I can't stop the music.
Hey, compadre.
Uh-huh.
Ci posso nare.
Uh-huh.
Che si suona o friscaletto.
A flute.
E come si suona o friscaletto.
Got no idea.
O friscaletto, tippity, tippity, ta. Hey, compadre.
Uh-huh.
Ci posso suonare.
Uh-huh.
Che si suona. O saxofona,
e
come si suona, o saxofona, tu 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 tu, o saxofona, o friscalette, tippiti tippiti ta.
Come on, now you know the words. Ehi, compare, ci può suonare, e si suona, a windbreaker, e come si suona, a windbreaker, a windbreaker, tu 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 tu, saxofona. Ehi, compare, ci può suonare, e si suona la meli hydraulic, e come si suona la meli hydraulic, la meli hydraulic, la wind breaker, tutto, tutto, saxophone, friscaletti, tippiti, tippiti, ehi, compare, ci può suonare, e si suona lo smash of tartar, ma come si suona lo smash of tartar, lo smash of tartar, da belly hydra, da windy vega, tutto, tutto, saxofone, friscaletti, tippiti, tippiti, ehi, compare, ci può suonare, e si suona a piume chiaro, e come se piore, a piume chiaro, a
fuma, a fuma, a
fuma, a fuma, a fuma, a fuma, a fuma, a fuma, a fuma, a fuma, a
well, come on over, whole lot of move away.
Then she can enjoy a session with me while on the air. And, you know, a lot of boss jocks, if you talk to them, they'll talk to stories about, oh, yeah, I remember this one time I was on a date and I had this girl. She came in. I was on the air. I was doing a midnight shift. You know, they'll tell you those stories. And I have none of those. Because I always felt, and I know you're going to say, oh, this is a pompous maggot, but I felt a commitment to my on-the-air work, and I realized that I could never really rock on the air if I were at the same time achieving a shuddering Shangri-La. But Estelle was insistent. She said, oh, it'll be so cozy. You have millions of people listening to you, and I'll be the one, and we can have an intimate liaison, and, we can do a little harmony, and you can just lean over to the microphone and talk at the same time. Just think of, won't it be funny? I said, Estelle, it won't be funny. It'll be hard to do. She said, you can do it. And, well, one day, nobody around, and I was on the air rocking, minding my own business. All of a sudden, Estelle comes in the room. And said, shh, baby, I got to get on the air in a second. Record's running out. Try to relax. So there I am, planning my next thing. And Estelle comes up behind me, starts rubbing herself. Kind of hunching his shelf on my shoulder blade. There I am going, leaders of the Congress will meet with Gorbachev today. At the Soviet embassy. And before I know it, there I am trying to read a newscast. And she has grabbed my feels. And down trial. So in spite of myself, while I'm still doing the news, I'm like, and Estelle is in the background. So here I'm trying to read this newscast. DC, next thing I know, she's gained purchase with that bad boy, and I'm buried deep. And I'm going, DC police and park police have arrested about 32 protesters and 2 demonstrations. Yeah, park police took 17 into custody in Lafayette Park. Oh, that's so nice. Not the custody, but that is nice. You know? I mean, it's nice that they're in custody because they should be in custody because of what they did. It was like, oh, to quote one of the protesters as he was dragged away. Needless to say, I'm thinking my career is going down the tubes. But I tried to get through the newscast because you always have to get through the newscast. And why not? Mayor Barry, answering rising criticism of the administration and expenditures, called a press conference today. Mayor Barry at City Hall was angry in front of reporters as he faced them with his hands on his hips, admonishing people for the leaks that have happened so many times in his administration. When asked why the mayor had justified an unusual expenditure on his personal expense account, he looked at the reporters with his eyes widening in fury. He felt that it was nobody's business but his own, as far as his personal expenditures, and he turned to the reporter from UPI and asked a torch question, and he replied, reporter said, beg your pardon? But by then I knew it was over. I just went on to the weather forecast and Estelle laughed. Estelle laughed. She had what she wanted. She humiliated me. But she got what she wanted. Oh, God forbid she should walk away frustrated. And there I was. I figured I'd at least be able to do the weather forecast in peace, but instead... in the background, if you listen very carefully, since it was a multi-directional microphone, you could hear the sound of a cell retreating, which was...
The Grease Man on DC 101.
During this time of year, with all the... My honey was saying to me, I'd like to take you to my hometown. I said, oh, you mean Vienna? She said, no. My real hometown. She said, you see these? I said, yeah, those are nice. I like those. Those are great. Those are nice. She said, well, that's because I come from Hooterville.
Come and ride the little train that is rolling down the tracks to the junction. Forget about your cares, it is time to relax at the junction. Lots of curves, you bet, even more when you get to the junction.
Petticoat Junction.
Well, I couldn't believe it. When I looked around Hooterville, and all I could see was Hooters. My honey was leading me by the hand, and there was Dolly Parton. There was Adrian Barbeau. There was Liz Taylor. There was Suzanne Summers. I said, all these girls are from Hooterville. She said, yes.
Hotel, and it was Shady Rest at the junction.
They all had their boyfriends, and the boyfriends were all going,
run by Kate Cummins.
Because that's illegal on the streets of Hooterville. I mean, it was unbelievable. I saw Liz Taylor's boyfriend. I saw Adrian Barbeau's boyfriend.
Petticoat Junction.
I said, you mean, it's legal? She said, yeah. So I went ahead, I just buried my face. I said, I went up to Suzanne Summers' boyfriend. He was just standing there looking around. I said, buddy, go ahead. We in Hooterville. He said, no, I can't in public. I said, why not? It's Hooterville. It's legal in public. He said, not for me. I wear a toupee. I'd rather not.
The Grease Man on DC 101.
It's the super night, and I'll never forget...